Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. Odyssey is buggy tonight. Oh my god. I'm refreshing the page and I don't even see the chat at this moment. How are you doing, people? Okay, we are live. At least I can confirm this. Odyssey has been running into lots of trouble and refreshing of the platform. The chat looks weird, but we're live. Things are working. Mark says, now great. There's the intro, says Grapes Coda. All right. We are live. Balthazar says, two refresh, done it. Exactly. I also had to refresh twice for some reason. We are learning that Baked Alaska has signed a plea deal. I'm not sure what we're looking at. This was filed today in court, but those are documents that were signed about 2 months ago and 4 months ago, maybe, for some of them. But it's certainly a plea deal in which Baked Alaska proposes to plead guilty, signs, and he pleads guilty for parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building in violation of Title 40 United States Code. A term of probation of not more than 5 years, pursuant to 18 USC, a fine of not more than $5,000, and an obligation to pay any applicable interest or penalties on fines and restitution not timely made. So we have the potential for a couple of years in jail for Baked Alaska. I knew that his case wasn't very strong. I had covered it when he had done this feint maybe 2 months, 3 months ago, maybe just before signing this plea deal, where he had come in front of the judge, was supposed to plead guilty, but had said to the judge, I'm pleading guilty because I know that I won't get a fair trial. And of course, you cannot say that to a judge. He's going to think that you're getting intimidated, and he's going to think that it's not your real decision, and you've just created a record in court that reveals that you may have hesitation, so you can't. So the judge had done the only thing that he could do, which is give him more time to decide, and he had reassured him that he would get a fair trial if he wants to plead non-guilty. But now they have filed today this plea agreement, which probably means that Baked Alaska has concluded that he had no chance in a trial, so there was no reason to plead not guilty. He will pay $10 to the clerk of the court, $500 to the architect of the Capitol, because the total damage of January 6th to the Capitol was $1.5 million, they say, and so he's going to pay a fee of $500 to restitute the Capitol. And importantly, he is cooperating with additional investigation. Your client agrees to allow law enforcement agents to review any social media accounts operated by your client for statements and postings in and around January 6th, and conduct an interview of your client regarding the events in and around January 6th prior to sentencing. Your client can accomplish this through an in-person meeting with a law enforcement agent to allow the law enforcement agent to look through social media accounts on your client's phone or device. So Baked Alaska, now a collaborator of the police, and hopefully there weren't people in his DMs who have self-incriminated. Of course, that would be very poor practice, but yes, it seems that the police will have access to his phone, go through his DM perhaps, or perhaps his public postings, and get the info. So perhaps Balthazar says, Fed Alaska. Yes, but I mean, at the same time, if you are If you are a criminal who confides in Twitter DMs to baked Alaska that you have committed crimes, you are stupid and you deserve to go to jail. So it's like, if you're serious in life about not being caught in a criminal action, you will never be talking about criminal stuff on a traceable platform that keeps the record or where these records could be eventually discovered. So that's pretty much it. Then the rest of the plea deal is just informing Baked Alaska that he's waiving all sorts of rights. Of course, when you do a plea deal, you do not end up having a trial, so you waive the right to trial. And that is it. And they also mentioned that there is a possibility that although this office will not sue him for anything related to January 6th, there is a possibility that the federal government could want to pursue him for other crimes or crimes that may have been committed on that day but that are not covered under this agreement. Mark says he got slapped on the wrist. Well, at the same time, you know, what are we talking about here? We're talking about a clown of the internet getting into a place where there was general chaos and using the opportunity to do some media mimetics. It's like, it would have been hard for him to spend decades in jail for this. I know how the leftists want to think that January 6th was a great attack against democracy, but the reality is it was mostly a bunch of originals and weirdos like Baked Alaska getting caught in, I guess we could call it an autism storm, an internet autism storm. Lick Meganim says, no, his sentencing was today. Was it? Because I haven't seen that news. All I've seen is this plea agreement that has been filed in court. Pennsylvania prohibits Zuckbucks ahead of 2022 midterms. So lots of news today related to the election practices and January 6th and Trumpism. This is very important because Mark Zuckerberg is one of the great architects of the 2020 election, going so strong toward Joe Biden. And the way he has done this is extremely creepy and dirty. He has offered grants to the public officials that were in charge of the election, and he's manipulated these grants in a way that he knew would favor Joe Biden. All of this under the guise of COVID-19 support. I understand that with COVID-19, everything is harder, so we're going to help you with money. And here's funds so that you can make the elections run smooth, even with the pandemic. That was basically the guise under which Mark Zuckerberg has privatized much of the public officials and offices to his megalomaniacal plan of getting someone else than Trump in power because Trump wasn't pleasing to him. Perhaps he was scared of him. Perhaps he was scared of an actual Section 230 revamp that would be disadvantageous to Facebook. I don't know exactly what were the sum of his motivations, but basically Mark Zuckerberg did what he had to do and invested hundreds of millions of dollars in revamping those public offices and taking over them, which should have been illegal from the start. But now it's at least illegal in about 20 states. And Pennsylvania, which is an important one because it's one of those that Mark Zuckerberg may very well have flipped, Pennsylvania has banned public officials from receiving and using private election grants, including those from nonprofits, in a bid to boost election integrity by reducing outside influence. As of July 2022, over 20 states have passed laws banning or restricting public officials' use of unregulated third-party monies when conducting elections. It comes after conservative analysts contend that such funds, dubbed the Zuck Bucks, were allegedly strategic in their placement in swing states, beefing up vote totals in 2020 for then-presidential candidate Joe Biden to eventually win the election. Election offices across Pennsylvania received more than $25 million in Zuck Bucks grants during the 2020 election cycle, according to data released by the Capital Research Center. And of course, all of these funds were totally tied to the pandemic. Like, oh, yeah, times are hard. Here's some help for the pandemic. And of course, any sort of vote expansionism typically will favor the Democrats, simply because the normies who end up voting for Joe Biden, who are not politically very educated, these people lack the kind of confidence and strength to go vote by themselves and even pass obstacles to get to their vote. So basically, the easier you make voting, the more you grab some of these potential Democrat supporters who can be told by a Democrat campaigner, look, vote for anyone else than Trump because Trump is evil. That's basically what happened in 2020. Another important news, Bannon found guilty of contempt of Congress for defying January 6 subpoena. A federal jury in Washington, D.C. has found former Trump advisor Stephen K. Bannon guilty on two charges of contempt of Congress after he refused to comply with a subpoena from the House Select Committee. I think that this was a likely outcome. I've said it yesterday because his case was nothing. He had nothing to say other than, oh, you know, think about the criminal threshold here, please, dear jury, and think about whether they really made the case that he had violated the law. And in fact, he did. I mean, the law is just you have to show up if you are subpoenaed for a committee hearing. Now, the clever thing to do is to show up and then to answer, I can't answer this question, Fifth Amendment. I can't answer this question, Fifth Amendment. This question, I don't remember. I don't remember this. Off the top of my head, I don't remember. I have difficulty recollecting this event. You can say this for a couple of hours and you haven't committed a crime. But if you decide to challenge the subpoena itself and openly argue against it and say, I will not go there, then you are exposing yourself to criminal prosecution. He faces a maximum penalty of 1 year behind bars and a $100,000 fine. Wow, those are some massive punishments, but I guess the kind of guy that he is probably can deal with a hit like this. If you give me a fine of $100,000, that would be very rough to me. But for Steve Bannon, he probably has some Chinese billionaire who can sign the check for this. Pineapple Platypotamus says, I was watching his stream and it didn't mention having to give contacts, but I didn't watch the whole thing. I've said worse things online and in person than all these people. Well, Pineapple Platypotamus, I didn't know that Baked Alaska made a stream about this. All of my information comes from the written plea deal. So basically, he's going to have to sit with the police and they're going to have access to his cell phone for inspecting his social media. So as far as I'm concerned, that means access potentially to know what happened around January 6th, before it, who contacted him, who did he contact. Lix Megamins Balu Nut sends a super chat. Thank you so much. The chat is really buggy. Like, I see that on top of the Odyssey chat, it's written validating, but it's a new plat. I think they've updated the chat backend and frontend, so it looks very different today. But thankfully, I can still read your super chat. He says, many of my friends in political circles are night owls. I myself worked an overnight shift for years. Sorry, I sneezed. Now I hear that you wake. All right, I'm sneezing. Now I hear that you wake at 12 to 3 p.m. o'clock in the afternoon. What is it about this nighttime lifestyle that curious people like? Perhaps there's just nothing else to do at 3 a.m. but get red-pilled. I think that nightlife is very fit for various things that a... I dropped my pen. Let me... All right. I think that nightlife is extremely fit for various reasons, for intellectuals, for Web Phoenix says I'm muted, that you're trolling, bro, because I see the sound right here. It's the sound is fine. I'm constantly monitoring. See, you can't fuck with me this way. Yes, so the nightlife is particularly fit for someone who wants the internet, who wants less social abstraction, who his curiosity will be better fit if there is no one around, if people around or people in the family are sleeping. All of this creates the perfect conditions for pursuing a line of curiosity independent of the influence of others and independent basically of the oppression of others. Because when you're alone at night on your computer, you can dig for stuff without being interrupted. You don't have to consider factors like shame. Like, a lot of people in our communities would not be able to fully talk about their political interest with even their wife or their girlfriend. It's a sad thing, but it's true. You know, people who browse on 4chan, it's very possible that they don't reveal this to the person they live with, to their loved ones, to their parents. So true curiosity is a thing, following the rabbit hole, if you will, is a thing that is best done at night. On top of it, there's the advantage that I don't know if it's a thing for artists like and intellectuals in general, but for me, I hate heat, I hate the sun, I hate light, and so the night provides a colder environment. Without the AC even, you can attain, just by opening the windows, you can attain a colder environment in which I think it's more fit to think and more fit to be curious and be thrown down the rabbit hole. Valet's channel says, JF has been doing this a long time. As an experienced DJ, I recognize that constant eye movement as monitoring multiple devices and screens. Yes, I have my different screens. Pineapple Platypotamus says, true, I liked the cooler temps. Yes, so all these advantages, and on top of it, there is an advantage for nightlife, and that's even outside the home. Because I've been working at grocery stores, I've been doing lab work during the night. There is simply an advantage in having all of the resources of society basically just for you. You know, when you drive at 2 a.m. in a town, unless you're really in a downtown party place, if you're just in a little town at 2 a.m., You will have the roads for you. The lights will be turning green faster. Everything is easier. There's less traffic, less annoyance, less risks. Of course, risks, if you're in a criminal place, there are more risks at night. But if you're not in a criminal place, the world is yours in the night. Mama JF says, I'm more red-pilled than JF. Well, that remains to be determined. Who knows really the level of red-pilling that I have? Given all the censorship that's applied to me, do we really know what's inside my heart? But yeah, Mama JF is not an example of these girlfriends who you can't. I can talk about 4chan. When I'm on my phone on 4chan, Mama JF passes by. She's like, "What are you looking at?" And I'm like, "I'm looking at 4chan." She's okay with this, but not everyone in this has this chance. Republic. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are the best way to support the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Based says, JF never revealed his power level. If I revealed my true power level, there would be bad consequences. And so I like to keep my superpowers under a couple of layers of deception. Republican Mayra Flores accuses Democrat opponent of paying blogger for racist post. This is funny. So at this point, you have the Democrat side is mocking Republican candidates for being Hispanic. And this blog post was saying San Benito crowns Mayra Flores Miss Frijoles 2022. Frijoles being some kind of bean, I guess, bean meal. And Mayra Flores says, my far-left opponent, Vincent Gonzalez, hired a local blogger to run hateful and racist ads against me. But I love Frijoles. I grew up eating Frijoles. I am not embarrassed by my upbringings and frijoles with tortillas, the harina. I mean, sorry, I'm having difficulty reading Spanish. Tortillas, the harina is simply the best. Here's to Miss Frijoles 2022. That's kind of weird. You would think that the Democrats would be careful about not upsetting the Hispanic voting base because they have a lot of potential in that voting base, although they're veering conservative because of their traditionalist and Catholic values. It's still a voting base that the Democrats can count on to some extent. So how is it relevant to say, well, this Republican candidate is Miss Beans, basically, Miss Spanish Beans 2022. Pineapple Platypotamus says, that sounds like an epic troll. Perhaps it's a troll that is not funded truly, as she claims, by the Democrat. Perhaps it's some trolls who want to just attract attention and cause chaos. Mama JF is calling me JF Poo on the chat. That is not a practice in this couple, Mama JF. We have never called each other Poo. But Mama JF, yesterday, I think, what were we watching? Were we watching Stranger Things? And in Stranger Things, they started calling each other baby poo or something, some lovers type of thing. And Mama JF was like, oh, that's a new way. Perhaps I could call you JF Poo. That sounds terrible. It sounds, JF Poo sounds not cute at all. Somehow my name doesn't fit this whole poo appealing, this poo denomination. These are the world's highest grossing companies, Walmart is the top selling company in the world, turning over around $573 billion in annual revenue. This is according to Statista company database. The company in second place, e-commerce giant Amazon, is a whopping $100 billion behind that with a revenue of $470 billion. Can I get a whop whop Walmart gang and Amazon gang? I'm very proud of seeing two of my favorite places to shop. Walmart and Amazon are truly great. They are great and they deserve this success. I make a living from Amazon because I sell my book there. And so no surprise that it comes in second place of the best companies out there in terms of generating income. And Walmart, always a place for low prices, although Walmart has been squeezing their customers with, you know, sometimes at Walmart you don't get the best price. And I think that they could make a little bit of work to produce better quality meat, because there are still events where there are still moments of my life where I have to go elsewhere than Walmart simply because their meat is crap. And so, of course, I do have a farmer that sells me his own meat, which is really good, but I would love to have the option of having good meat at Walmart. We're not there yet, but for the rest, Walmart is truly scoring very high in my ladder personally. And Amazon, of course, it's the diversity of what you can get there. Unbelievable. Amazon, you know, you have a dream. You think, I want to automate my watering. They have exactly the pumps that you need. They have the valves. They have every specific thing. It is so diverse. Amazon is truly the right name for it, because it is a jungle of products, and I love it. Do you want lunch? Says Amazon is cancer. Is it? Okay. But I personally like it. I think my life would be much worse without Amazon. I wouldn't have had the ease to buy my plumbing stuff. Some rare connectors that I sometimes need, rare tools that they have. It is, do you want lunch? Says, seriously, Amazon kills e-commerce. Well, it kills it by being better than it. So that's not kidding. That's winning the competition. The fact is that e-commerce has been sucking and Amazon has been ruling. It is absolutely wonderful. Amazon also leads to more money being made by people like me on their book. Amazon, you know, yes, killed brick and mortar bookstores, but it did so by rewarding creators with more money, so that if I sell my book in a brick and mortar store, they will take more money from it. I will get less. So welcome, you know, praise to Jeff Bezos. I kneel in front of Jeff Bezos. You are a god of the modern world. Thank you so much for everything you've done. Backup for Cody Love says, Canada Amazon is terrible. I used it in Japan. It was amazing. I don't know. I've not been having any trouble with Amazon.ca. Plasma says, do Amazon have print on demand? Yes, they do. So basically you put your book on there and they will sell it. They will sell it for you. They will print it for you. They will deliver it for you. Lots of things removed from the creator's shoulders with Amazon. I don't know why you would deal with any other things. Musk reacts to Twitter blame for second quarter revenue miss. Twitter said it faced $33 million in costs during the quarter related to Musk's $44 billion acquisition. Elon Musk says to Twitter blaming him, I'm rubber, they're glue. So basically, they are like this annoying person sticking to me. Well, Elon, you are contractually obliged to buy Twitter. So yes, they're glue, but you made them glue. And as far as Twitter, well, they claim they had a $33 million expense related to the whole fiasco of the purchase. And I think that's probably them starting to set precedent to say eventually to the judge, well, he has at least to reimburse those millions of dollars. And it's probably going to stack to much more than 33. But that's them already creating a history of, oh my God, we're losing so much money because of what Elon Musk is doing. Because now they know that the judge is perhaps on their side because he accepted their request to make an emergency trial for this. So that means he's very sympathetic to Twitter arguments. Genesis says, dude, why praise Amazon? They might just ban your books too. Remember being on YouTube? Well, I will praise Amazon as long as they don't ban my books, as I guess. Why would I preemptively complain against censorship that has not happened yet? As far as I know, my books are safe on Amazon. The Revolutionary Phenotype is still selling, still making a living out of it. Amazon allowed me, instead of placing milk in a grocery store, which is what I was doing, Amazon allowed me to have a home, have a farm, have everything I wanted from life. So I'm certainly not going to complain against Amazon. Fergus Moore says, your understanding of the Amazon phenomenon is diluted. Okay. But they have made things more performant. The fact is, the whole system of, I'm going to take a truck, I'm going to drive it to a store kilometers away. I'm going to unpack these things. I'm going to put them in the store so that customers can come in while we pay a cashier who stays there 24/7 so that they can look at the product and buy it. That was one of the most inefficient things of society. Amazon has totally wrecked retail commerce, and I love it them for it. Do You Want Lunch says, Amazon doesn't even make money from selling. It runs at a loss and makes it up with Amazon Web Services. That is true, and perhaps their system is unsustainable, or perhaps they will find the key to profitability in the coming years. But certainly, for now, they seem dedicated to the strategy of grow, 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 to the expense of even profit. So they don't seem to care about profits for now. They care about growth. Vince McMahon announces retirement from WWE amid scandal. McMahon announced his retirement at age 76. So there he is. He's done. As I approach 77 years old, I feel it's time for me to retire. As chairman and CEO of WWE, I find this extremely sad because they finished his career by making a couple of allegations and revealing that he had spent $12 million in hush money to silence sexual scandals about himself. First, $12 million is a very small amount, so, and you know, sexual scandals at this point. I don't know why we're giving credence to these things. It's becoming pretty clear that any man who acquires any amount of power will have sexual scandals emerging about him. Most of them probably false. Some of them may be grounded in some truth, but probably exaggerated. I find this so sad that a guy like this, who was truly an entertainer, gets punished like this at the end of his life, and now he's giving his company to his daughter, and she will continue as co-CEO along with the current WWE president, Nick Khan. This guy was funny, Vince McMahon. I loved when he was going onto the ring and he was telling the crowd, like, you guys are just poor people. I don't remember exactly what he was saying, but he was like, you guys are dirty, poor people. I'm the rich guy. You guys are giving me money. To me, he's been really a model in terms of, like, gratuitous, provocative statement. And I would say maybe to some extent, some of my debate performance is inspired by Vince McMahon. In the sense of, you know, coming and saying the most outrageous thing right to people's face, and sometimes showing disdain and a kind of complex of superiority. I really loved Vince McMahon, although I was not a fan of wrestling. I've not watched much of this. This guy, I love him. And it was also fun when he did stuff with Trump on the ring. Forex Shark about Amazon says it's probably not unsustainable because they are becoming a monopoly and then they can raise prices after all competition is bankrupt. Exactly. I don't see any problem for Amazon and to raise prices crazily at some point, because honestly, some of the stuff they have, you wouldn't get anywhere else. Like, where would I buy my mechanical ball valves if not from Amazon? I have no clue. Where would I buy my fuel pumps? I have no clue. Maybe there would be some commerce developing and addressing the trying to compete with their high price, but they would have a hard time, and escalating the competition would be very steep and harsh. Entire North Carolina Police Department resigns after new town manager is hired. Kenley Police Chief Josh Gibson cites hostile work environment as cause for resignation. I've digged through the whole article, and they don't really explain what is wrong about this new... There's a new female town manager that was named, and it seems that she's so hostile, and that she's made the work environment so hostile that all of the police department has resigned. But it's not clear to me what she did. I think she's basically maybe some kind of woke anti-police person who's and so the police has resigned. I find this awesome. It's really great. As Pineapple Platypotamus points out, the police is using their leverage, and at some point they will not put up with whatever it is that they were taking issue with that they call the hostile work environment. So keep it up, policemen. Use your leverage, because you do have some. Experts slam Pete Buttigieg's comment on electric vehicles a con job. Americans have been given a false impression about EVs, researcher Patrick Anderson tells Fox Business. I knew this might come up, so I pulled a few of the latest price, Buttigieg told Perry. A Chevy Bolt, an American-made 2022 EV, is $26,595. If you want a pickup truck like a Chevy Silverado or Ford F-150 Lightning, the starting prices of those are $39,900 and $39,974. But what we're seeing in terms of the dynamics now is we're close to the point and may actually be there on certain models and under circumstances where the extent to which your car payment would go up is actually already outweighed by the extent to which your gas bill would go down, even factoring in the cost of electricity. However, experts highlighted that cheaper EVs are still more expensive than comparable traditional cars and must be charged more often due to their relatively low range. For example, the 2022 Chevy Bolt, referenced by Buttigieg, past 26,595 and has a range of 259 miles, while the traditional engine 2022 Chevy Spark cost 14,595 and has a range of 297 miles. So it's pretty terrible, the cost of electric vehicles, despite the government help, because they will subtract a government amount that somehow the government is paying for this. But you still don't get to economical sense of any kind. Neither with solar panels nor with electric vehicles. And I'm seeing terrible stories emerging in the media where people have to replace their battery, and basically it's the price of the car and sometimes more. So if your battery goes wrong, your car doesn't exist anymore. That's dramatic. I cannot tolerate this in my life, to have a car where at any point in time I may have to repay the whole value of the car. Spindly Opinion says, when it comes to the batteries, I'm not convinced it's better for the environment. Yeah, I mean, in term we will see just how much energy is invested on recycling those batteries. Can we recycle them at all? Can we reuse their content to something else? But certainly in terms of cost, it's just not there yet. And the risks, the range, all of this is too high for me to take. So I want to send people first to the electric vehicle. Go ahead, test them. But I'm not buying an electric vehicle before a couple of years, before I see that it's advantageous to me. Blatt and Biden says, did JF discuss Lauren Sutton's video from last week? I have a whole full review show about it. Go in my channel, look about 1 week or 2 weeks ago, the whole truth, a review. That is the title of my video. White House fires back at GOP claims Biden admin is selling SPR oil to China, ridiculous and false. White House says Biden has no involvement in the sale and DOE is required to sell to highest bidder. The White House on Friday said Republican claims that the Biden administration is funneling oil from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve to foreign countries, specifically China, are ridiculous and false, while stressing that President Biden has had no personal involvement in the process of private companies selling crude oil whatsoever. This is so complex because you may think it's a denial, but then it's an admission. So the president has not been personally involved in what? In private companies getting the crude oil and selling it. So it did get to China. So what is the falsehood here that is claimed? The falsehood is that Joe Biden sent oil to China. That's not true. Joe Biden decided to release the petroleum reserves. They were sold to private entities, and these private entities carried it to China. That's basically Joe Biden releasing strategic reserve to China. It's just that there's an intermediary. It's amazing in politics how this is worked on. There's a specialist in communication who decided to phrase it that way so that people who only read to that point, or people who only read the title, they will think, okay, so Biden is strongly denying that the oil ever got to China. But the fact is, he's acknowledging that private companies had to buy this oil, and maybe some of them may have sent it to China. But it's not Joe Biden himself that carried the oil to China. Well, thank you. I would have expected this. Dead Star sends a super chat. He says, can we pretty please ban the GIFs? I'm triggered, JF. Okay. I don't know that we will ban the GIFs. Is that an option that I even have? I'm not sure. And I think that the GIFs have not been abused. What I see are GIFs of Vince McMahon, and I was actually pretty happy that Plasma used them on the chat. Of course, we have to be careful because we know from many years of internet trolling that there are GIFs that are specifically designed, you know, to flash in your eyes, and they can cause a seizure. Basically, there are GIFs that are made for seizure, for their seizure inducing property. And people have been targeted with these GIFs in various Twitter DMs and stuff like this, which is basically the internet equivalent of attempted murder. So we have to be careful which GIFs we use. But the use of GIFs that I've seen are totally relevant to the show. They relate to Vince McMahon. I love the man. And so it's totally fine that Plasma was using it. And now Plasma is sending a super chat. He says they can solve the battery problem by using super capacitors. I have a power system in my house made of 200X 2500F super caps. Why do they use lithium? Super capacitor, my friend, I don't know. I don't know if it's a serious way to store energy. If you're talking about storing energy for a whole house, I don't know. I don't know how big of a capacitor system you would use. It would probably be enormous, like maybe a kilometer long or something. You would literally need to have 1 kilometers of capacitors just to keep a house charged for the night. I don't know, I'm making up numbers here, but it seems that it would be in that order of magnitude. You have 200x. I mean, I know the power of capacitors. My mechanized ball valve have a feature to them, because the goal of this ball valve is that if power is on, we want the ball valve to be opened. If power is off, we want the ball valve to be closed. Now the problem comes when it's opened, and then you close the power, or say there's an electrical shutdown. Now there's no more electricity to move the ball valve to the closed position. And these ball valves are equipped with a system of capacitors. Basically, it stores energy. And when power goes off, so even if you have an electrical problem in your home, they shut down with the energy that's stored in the capacitor. But you would need massive amounts of capacitors to get a dryer going or to make a fridge work. I don't see this as serious as a possibility. Also, the problem with capacitor is they leak energy. If you don't keep them powered, they eventually lose their energy, and like the energy evaporates. So capacitors have a very good function when you know that you always have power, and all you need is a little bit of charge when you don't have power for just a minute or just a second. That's exactly the purpose of capacitors. But and of course they're used in all sorts of other things, like filtering signals, because they have a natural filtering behavior to electrical output. But capacitor as a reserve of energy for a massive amount of power that is not viable. It's just not a valid battery. Mark says, Jeff, if 1 light-year long cable is connected to a lamp next to you, how long does it take to light up? Well, you're asking about the speed of electricity. So if we're talking about a cable that feeds the lamp through electricity goes much slower than light. And so I don't know what would be the response. Perhaps it would take whatever is the speed of light divided by the speed of electricity, number of years. That's your answer. Someone tells me, JF, check entropy. We have a super chat coming on entropy. Thank you so much, Michael Monfort. He sends $10. He says, tough night, JF. My girlfriend rather abruptly broke up with me yesterday because I'm supposedly not affectionate enough with her. Don't say I love you enough or send heart emoticons and this kind of thing. Perhaps I loved her but was not in love. Any thoughts? Man, I'm so sorry. This has happened to me again and again. Fuck this shit, man. Holy shit. I hate this. Because I don't think that women have particular insight into whether a woman who decide that you don't love them enough, I don't think that they have a particularly good decision making to detect that kind of thing. I think they are misunderstanding the true way in which men show love. And ultimately, it's because we are in such a sick society that it's exactly the kind of love signs that they require. But the reality is, a woman shouldn't have to wait for a heart emoticon to think that her male loves her. She should see in the realizations of the male and the expenses of the male and the life that he builds for them. She should see, and the fact that he cares for their children that they have together. That is what a female should look at to evaluate the amount of love that a man is giving to her. But because we're in the sick society with birth pill, condoms, divorce, lack of loyalty, female polygamy, we end up in this, and sometimes city lifestyle and going at bars and restaurants every night. That's the kind of environment in which she will expect emoticons, I love you, and oh, why don't you look at me in the eye? And the fact is, don't take it too personal, don't take it too roughly. The fact is that she doesn't love you anymore. And she has decided that she can get better than you. And the way a female expresses this is never by saying that she doesn't love you anymore, because the woman doesn't like to be making herself the agentic source of a decision. So she will always reflect it back to you. So when she says, I don't feel that you love me anymore, what she's really saying is, I don't love you anymore. But a female is incapable of self-examination and self-criticism and self-even expression. So anything that a female will express in the love domain, she will say it about you, when she has not even demonstrated a capacity to perceive it for herself. The right way she let me translate what she's saying. She's saying, I don't love you anymore. I can get a better boyfriend than you. And never, never trust the primary meaning of what these women say when they say, here's what you could improve. Never. Because she doesn't know what you could improve, because she's already lying about what she's telling you. So don't take it too personal. Move forward to the next woman and do not trust anything that she has said to be ways of improving your behavior with women. Keep being who you are and look for a woman who will appreciate who you are. That is what I would tell you, because if you start changing your behavior to this bad fate feedback of them, You are changing your behavior to feedback that was given dishonestly to someone who doesn't have skin in the game anymore because she abandoned you. So focus on yourself, as Based says. He says, I wouldn't take her back. Focus on yourself, level up, and do so to not tolerate shit. Exactly. Focus on yourself, move on to the next, and learn from your selection patterns, and perhaps you'll be able to find an even better woman for you. Go Away says, I don't think Michael Monfort loves me anymore either, to be honest. Probably gonna block him on Discord. What is the point of this? Go Away, what is this trolling? Now, Michael Monfort in his super chat was mentioning, perhaps I loved her but was not in love. So perhaps you didn't have a full conviction of your love toward her. This typically happens. Tell me, Michael, is it the case that she wasn't super beautiful to your eyes? That you had kind of settled down for her? And that she wasn't fully exciting you visually? Because it happens that you can't really quite get in the mood of truly loving a woman because she's ugly. That happens. Maybe it was the case for you. In which case, now you know that when you go for slightly too ugly, you can't handle it, and psychologically you can't fully invest yourself in the relationship. So you just go for more beautiful. It's as simple as this. You will make adjustment on your side in terms of your selection pattern. Those are the right adjustments to make. But don't change who you are. Just change who you run after, who you want to get in your life, and who will be the next reproductive woman to be with you. The price of solar panels and wind turbines came down 88% and 68% respectively between 2010 and 2021, and yet they made electricity more expensive everywhere they were deployed at scale. Why? Because they are weather resistant. Weather dependent and thus highly unreliable, requiring far more people and machinery. That is a problem. It's not clear to me how much will be the total cost of maintenance of these things. It seems that solar panels are highly degraded by time. Just time operation is wearing them down, making them weaker, and is removing value from them. I really don't like it. Stupid and delusional. Three Arrows founders emerged from hiding to discuss their regrettable collapse. So they made an interview with Bloomberg. I don't know much about this Three Arrows Capital. It seems like it was some kind of smart lending platform, crypto trading behemoth, and of course when they took in too much loans and they had too much commitments, credit was too easy for them to get, and eventually when the crypto crashed a little bit, they couldn't handle it. It put too much pressure on them. You can't live like this, especially in the financial sector. I can't believe that these guys couldn't see it coming. Like, you have to think, is my company viable if Bitcoin crashes to 10,000? Because you can't live on the always expanding front. You have to survive the retraction. And that's how I've handled my life. That's how I handle from personal life to Bitcoin management to even my career on YouTube. I've always been interested in how do I survive the lowest of the lows. How do I survive being attacked from all sides, lied about in court? How do I survive a drop of Bitcoin price? And how do I survive massive attacks on my channel and smearing and hit pieces and bannings of all kind? That's how you have to do that. That's how you'll be successful on the long run. But these guys, they were all, oh yeah, let's take in loans and oh, it's always going to get better. No, it doesn't always get better. You have to be prepared for things to get horribly wrong. Go away, says JF. Have you commented on the paper that says depression is not caused by chemical imbalance in the brain? I haven't. But I knew this day was coming where someone would ask me this. So there's this paper that came out, and basically the claim is that the chemical imbalance theory of depression is not good, not the best, because depression appears to be caused by events in one's life. And because it's caused by sad events in one's life, it doesn't stem from a chemical dysfunction of serotoninergic synapses. And basically presents the antidepressant solution as probably being more of a... it's more like random, the fact that antidepressants happen to play with serotonin, rather than it was a problem of serotonin to begin with. Basically, the antidepressant helps you by fixing serotonin in your brain. But that doesn't mean that the depression was caused by a problem of serotonin in your brain. And I don't know. The reason I didn't talk about this is that I find all of the sides in this discussion, in this scientific conversation, I find all of the sides horribly stupid. And I find this article stupid. And here's the reason why. You cannot say... you basically cannot say that depression is not a chemical imbalance of the brain. Why? Because every single state of the brain is a chemical imbalance of the brain. When you're happy, it has to boil down to synapses, more of them, less of them, being active or less active. It has to boil down to this. So what is never said in this debate is just how ridiculous the statement depression is caused by a chemical imbalance in the brain, just how self-referential and circular it is. Okay? And I've used the words myself at times. You know, if you want to get rid of someone quickly and you want to have them, you want them to have a quick idea of what's the idea of depression, what's the idea of the medication for it, you can quickly tell them depression is just caused by a chemical imbalance in the brain. The medication fixes that imbalance. I think it's a nice way to express it. And it's a way that it has to be true. There is not a single state of your brain that is not a differential expression of some chemical in some place of your brain at some higher or lower frequency. Because that's the nature of neurons, and that's what your brain is made of, neurons. And all the neurons only communicate either through electrical or chemical connections. And so when something goes wrong or well, whether it's bad or good, it has to be a chemical imbalance. So the chemical imbalance of depression theory has to be true in some way. In the same way, the chemical imbalance theory of everything has to be true. Chemical imbalance, is happiness a chemical imbalance? Yes. Is sex, the feelings that you have during sex, a chemical imbalance? Yes. Because it's those chemicals that made you feel that way were different than when you didn't feel that way. So I find the whole scientific quest of is the depression theory of chemical imbalance true? It's a ridiculous quest, because yes, it's true, and it's a circular statement. We are not engaging with the real question here, which is it a blunt chemical imbalance of the kind all serotoninergic synapses are all off, or they're all weak, or they all have less serotonin, or is it something more subtle? And you know, this bluntness aspect is what we're lacking, and I think it would be important for psychiatry to go more serious into this. Because certainly, we don't know how specific the chemical changes are in the depressive brain, but we know one thing for sure. Our instruments for healing are blunt. Our pills are blunt. Our pills, they will just take any synapse of your brain that responds to this particular chemical, and they will amplify them all. So our medications are blunt. The question of what is just how high resolution of a look into the brain do I need to figure out what eventually caused depression, I think we just haven't resolved this yet. We have imaging studies, we know the various areas, but even there it's hard to get a true phenomenological, biochemical understanding of what happens in a human brain that goes into depression. It's kind of easy to have it from a rat's brain in which you model depression, but that is really what it is, a model. So you still don't have the true causal route of why a natural human brain in a natural human life ends up being depressive. So I don't know the answer, but I think the debate around the particular theory of chemical imbalance, it's kind of clownish. It's kind of like wrestling. There's lots of kayfabe, scientific kayfabe happening here. Licks Megum and Balloons Nut sends a super chat of $15. Thank you so much. He says, I've been thinking about challenges to the out-of-Africa theory, particularly the multi-origin theory, where certain groups emerged from separate hominid roots rather than having the same recent African ancestor. This would imply that not everyone is Homo sapiens. Does this hold any water? Well, that would be extremely surprising, because ultimately the genetics of Asians, whites, and Africans all have commonalities, and you have to explain those commonalities through a single ancestry that was shared, and that was shared not so long ago, because you have to find a way. How do I make it so that the whites and the Asians end up having Neanderthal genes, but that and that the Africans don't have the Neanderthal genes, but that all of the three races share, and of course the other races, share a common core of what we call Homo sapiens genes. The resolution to this cannot be that humanity, that the modern Homo sapiens were somehow created through what you describe is a theory that we would call parallelism or convergent evolution, one of the two. Parallelism basically is a theory in which, instead of stemming from a common ancestor that had the feature, you invoke two different ancestors and the same thing happened to them. So here's an example where parallelism works. And here's an example where parallelism doesn't work. Parallelism works as an explanation if you want to think of, say, the evolution of wings in bats versus birds. Now, bats versus birds have very different wings, but you could still say there's some commonality here. Limbs have been used in some form to create flight. Now, you have to ask the question, what was the common ancestor like? Well, if you'd boil down to the common ancestor between bats, which are mammals, and birds, which are birds. Birds are reptiles. Mammals descend from some kind of amphibians. Reptile descends from some kind of amphibian. And therefore, you have found the common ancestor, maybe some kind of salamander. And then the question is, did the salamanders of millions of years ago, did they have wings? Is it likely that they had wings? Well, there's no fossil of them having wings, and we don't know that modern salamanders have wings. Therefore, it's more reasonable to think the wings of birds and bats have totally different stories. They emerged independently on one side and the other. Then you can ask a place where parallelism doesn't work, for example, is when you look at the events that have led, I believe, to the losing of the legs and arms of lizards, which became snakes. And I think that this boils down to a single ancestor, basically. I think that if you have a theory of, although I don't remember the details, but there are certain branches of life in which the most efficient explanation, the most real explanation that demands the less complex branching out, is to say that everything came from a single ancestor. A single ancestor would have lost their legs, and this would have led to all of the snakes of the world. And the way you assess whether you accept a parallelism or reject a parallelism hypothesis is you have to ask, how many genes would I have to explain as evolving independently, each on their sides? And if that number of genes is any high, you have to go back to, no, it's not parallelism, it's common ancestry. And I believe that the number of genes that are shared between the Africans, Asians, and whites are way too high. Way too high, and the frequency of various Homo sapiens genes that are present in each of these populations, that is way too high to invoke each of these genes. We're talking about maybe hundreds of thousands of letters of DNA. Each happening to evolve in the exact same way in Africa and in Asia separately. So I would totally reject your hypothesis. If you want the quantifications of this, I never did them, but you would have to quantify. Let's say that your hypothesis is that we all came from Homo erectus, and you have to rebuild a Homo sapiens from a Homo erectus. So you calculate the genetic difference between an Homo erectus and Homo sapiens, and then how many mutations, how much selection would you need to invoke to make these things happen three times independently, parallelly. My guess, based on just approximate understanding of the evidence, is it's going to be literally impossible. Silver Spider has sent a super chat. He says, "Hey Jeff, on the topic of depression, I've lost friends and family to substance abuse, but I never knew what to do to help them. They wouldn't go to therapy. Why are some people's brain this way? It's been very frustrating to see a person completely lose their sense of self. Yes. Well, the thing is, they wouldn't go to therapy, but is therapy really efficacious in improving people's life? I seriously doubt it. So maybe they were deeply correct in knowing that the outcomes of these therapies are not super well evaluated, and they are very poor at assessing their own efficacy. So what can you do to help them? You shouldn't. You shouldn't do much to help them. You could be there as support if they need and if they demand. But what I've learned in life is never help someone who doesn't request it. Because they're going to be drains on your energy, you won't believe it. They will wreck your own life the way they've wrecked their own life. Do not give unsolicited help. Someone who's not ready and willing to get out of this lifestyle will not get out of this lifestyle. There are no ways you can get them out of this lifestyle. And they will drain your energy and your money and anything you got that you throw at them. So the best approach to me is let go. That's what I've done with loved ones who were in depression. Let time pass, let them reach the bottom of the barrel. And the unfortunate thing is that the bottom of the barrel may be suicide. And so you have to be prepared for the potentiality of suicide, but certainly not attribute the event to you. Don't think he's committed suicide and I could have stopped it. No, you have to abandon that the idea that you can help them, and then you have to let them reach their bottom of the barrel. If it happens that it's suicide, well, it's their decision. And as a libertarian, many times I had to, think through and determine, do I respect someone's right to suicide? And personally, although I know that it's criminal in many jurisdiction, personally, philosophically, I don't think there should be state restrictions against suicide. Someone who chooses to die shouldn't be blocked from doing it. But that's just a philosophical view. I would certainly not help someone commit suicide. Mama JF says, I was literally so depressed all of my life before I started watching JF. Well, it's great that we have set a life for ourselves together, and personally, I very much enjoy our life together. It's pretty much the dream life I've always wanted. So I'm happy that it made you happy too. And yes, Mama JF has been a fan of the show for a long time. What, I don't even know when did Mama JF start watching me. Was probably in the Blood Sports, Indie days. Probably she got a link on 4chan, heard about me on 4chan, and started watching Blood Sports. Russia is about to run out of steam in Ukraine, British spy chief claims. The statement from the chief of Britain's version of the CIA, MI6, says much about the pathetic status of British intelligence than it does about Russia's military prospects in Ukraine. He also estimated that about 15,000 Russian troops had been killed so far in its war with Ukraine, adding that was probably a conservative estimate. So yes, I mean, they're trying to generate bad press around Russia. But we know that Russia has been certainly successful at dominating plenty of territory in Ukraine. Do you want Dino Legovic says being too happy is not good for anyone. Mama JF says you can complain against him, but Warski got you some pussy, JF. That is true. That is absolutely true. I may never have been with Mama JF if it wasn't of Andy Warski. That is an interesting way to look at it. I have to repent and thank Andy for this. John J sends a super chat. He says, remember back in the day when JF passive aggressively roasted Baked Alaska for an hour on Warski Live? I remember. I don't even remember what were my point of objections to him. But yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember that. I love doing this. I loved being the socially awkward intellectual on Warski Live and just wrecking their little stupid low IQ party every day. You can't ask for a better job than this. It's totally fit to my personality. It's like these guys would have a stupid conversation where Andy exclaims himself every 30 seconds. And they would say stupid stuff, but no, I'm here. And I'm here and I throw insults and passive aggressive. I'm making comments. I'm wrecking the social ambience. I loved it. Can't believe that I made a living out of it for so long. It's the best fit job for me. It's like doing what I would do in a normal social awkward conversation. I would just add awkwardness to it, but I was doing this on a professional show. It's so beautiful. People were discussing this video on the Discord. It's a video where a monkey is trying to bite and successfully biting a Ukrainian refugee girl. Child is saved by the parents but suffers huge blood loss after animal escapes a Moscow zoo. Let's have a look. So first, you can see there's a lot of children around, and they will all flee in a very cowardly way. Now, maybe they're 8 years old, 10 year old, 12 year old, I don't know. But they are letting the weakest of them be attacked by the monkey. I find this pretty cowardly. Look at them running. And the monkey is now attacking this particular child while the others have totally fled. This is the reality of nature. Ultimately they will leave you for dead. They will drop you behind and abandon you. That's why friends aren't worth shit. Anyways, so this poor child is getting attacked by the monkey. Now the female parent seems... Is she doing the right thing? To a certain extent, yes. Protecting immediately, the baby, taking the child, making sure that she has control of the body of the child, that is clever. And then getting the monkey detached to the extent possible. You want to be careful when you take control of the small body of the child that you're not creating a situation where the monkey will just bite harder. So best way is to not lift the child so high as she's done. but to kind of take control of the child underground where the biting is currently happening, and then isolate the body of the child and kick the monkey out. And it, I say kick, it could be with your hand, it could be with your leg. You don't want to create a situation where you're lifting the child and that the whole weight of the monkey is holding on by his teeth, because you're creating more damage to the biting injury here, because the monkey can now put all of his weight on just his teeth. That's what you have to be careful with. I wouldn't say she performed perfectly, but not so bad given the situation. But then the problem is that there's further action. The smell seems relatively, you know, weak in his pushing back of the monkey. By the way, the monkey here, a monkey of this level will detect the weakness of the male here. One of the great things with monkeys is they respond to intimidation. So it's like the right move is not to give that little passive aggressive kick and then run away, because this will cause actually the monkey to reply. What you have to do, once you have assured that the child is in the hand of the woman, so the child is safe, it's as safe as it can be, you want to go full monkey display toward the monkey. It's like you look at the monkey in the eye and it's like, that's what you want to do. Sorry if I yelled too hard in the mic, but that's just what you need to do. And if you have something like a shield, you have a ladder, anything that can expand the size of your body, it's like, and you fixate his eyes and you're not shaking and you're ready for a fight. That's not what this guy has been doing. This guy has been barely even kicking. Look at this. He's displaying, look at his curved back. He's displaying fear. The monkey will detect this. The monkey will detect that his little leg kick is not very very convincing. Look at this. The problem of this leg lift is not a good defense against a monkey anyway. The monkey will just sidestep it and just bite your leg. So it's not a good defense. I understand it's an instinctive mechanism. A leg lift like this may protect you from a creature that, you know, basically you will be blocking some attempts to charge you with a leg lift like this. It's basically using your leg as a shield, but the monkey is too smart. The monkey is like a ninja, okay? Think of a ninja. You cannot beat the agility of the ninja, okay? When you fight against a monkey, understand that he got you beaten on the agility score. So anything that makes his job easier, things like lifting your leg like this, you think you have a shield, the monkey sees it as a potential target for biting. A ninja, you don't want to out-shuriken the ninja. What do you do against a ninja? You have to negotiate. You have to show that ultimately you have stronger brute force and that he should be afraid of that brute force. But you're not going to be more dexterous than the ninja monkey. Go away, says JF, would have fought the monkey to save you unless you want to die, which is your right, of course. Go away trying to make bridges on the different subjects we have covered tonight. Now the monkey, with the weakness of the male, has caused the monkey to be able to bite again. The freaking child. See, this is where this could have been handled better. And even if, you know, I can understand that some guy doesn't have the monkey knowledge that I have. But still, it would be your minimal responsibility to put yourself into the path of the monkey so that the monkey doesn't get to bite the child again. I mean, we're talking about two adults here. They should be able to put themselves in the way so that they become the primary target of the monkey rather than the child. But no, total failure here. The monkey gets back at the child. Even there, see, he didn't learn his lesson. He's still doing his beta fucking leg dance. Okay, so that's some other video. I don't know why it popped up. People were critical on the Discord that the behavior of this guy is insufficient, not very caring, and people were pointing out, you know, nature prepared you for this. This is your child that you're saving. You have all of the right stimulus. You should go ape. This should be your moment. If you're a guy, you know, is this not what guys are supposed to be for? You're supposed to be going massive ape on the monkey, and you just outcompete the monkey and brutalize the monkey, and he's never going to be harassing humans again. But no, this beta Moscow inhabitant was totally unable to perform here. Plasma sent a super chat. He says, "Jeff, I would knock the fucker out and say, 'Welcome, monkey. This is Warwick. He is your roommate.'" Okay. I don't know. I don't know it's a reference to what, yes, you have to show some conviction. It really doesn't matter, because in terms of hitting a monkey hard, it's not going to matter. The monkey is probably too dexterous for you to be able to clean punch it. All you can really do is intimidate and strike to some extent that will obstruct his movement and perhaps, you know, create some amount of pain that will make him think twice. But you're just not going to hit, you're not going to clean box a monkey. The monkey is too quick. It's very hard to explain. Like, you know how boxers, they can avoid? Imagine this, but 10 times better. A monkey, it's like its entire body will just mold around your punches. They're really like, the best way I can express it is monkeys are ninjas. That's what they are. Ninjas that can avoid anything you throw at them. You would have to basically surprise them or pin them down for them to be able to take clean hits. And anyways, you don't have to clean it. You don't have to hit. One of the best strategies against monkeys is hand restraint, if you can accomplish this. But the big problem is for hand restraint, if you're faced with a front-facing monkey, it's going to be hard to get without losing fingers, because if you extend your fingers, they will bite, and they will bite them off your hand. So I like to approach monkeys like this and then make some move on the side, take them from behind, and restrain them from their shoulder. And I never expose my finger. It's like I try to wrestle with them. That's what I do. Fuck you 222 says, "Salut JF, have some LBC shekels." Thank you very much for your donation. We are at the end of the show. Last news item: US fighter jets now under consideration for Ukraine. Air Force Chief. For weeks, there have been rumors and widespread reports that the United States is close to starting a formal training program for Ukrainian pilots in order to better combat superior Russian aerial force. But amid the weapons bonanza being offered and shipped from Washington to Kiev, it was also reported that fighter jets were never on the table. But the Biden administration is now intensely mulling jet transfers. Listen, this is absolutely ridiculous. You guys are throwing everything you can throw at them. You are basically leading this war with Ukrainian bodies as proxy. against Russia. Stop doing this. It's ridiculous. Let them lose the war. It's going to end up better for everyone. And stop trying to win this war. Long term, you can't. Long term, you can't. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. I'm taking a break tomorrow. So I'm taking a vacation. I will enjoy the day with Mama JF. I will be chilling with her, eating some stuff, enjoying time. I've been working hard. I deserve it. So break tomorrow. Let me write it on the schedule here. Break, no show. So that everyone knows it if they watch the calendar. And I will therefore see you all on Sunday. Bye-bye. Thank you.